Good evening, class. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. It's great to be back in prayer school. It seems like we've missed a lot due to different things, and we're back tonight. Several weeks ago, Miss Paula came and approached me about let's do a series on the price, the promise, and the plan. Okay? The price, the promise, and the plan. I thought, wow, love that outline. And the price was to be number one. And I've told you the story. I said, I got to praying about that, and the Lord awakened me. I wish you could find the piece of paper that I wrote it on. Oh, there it is, right there. The Lord awakened me at 2:30, about 6 weeks ago or longer, and began to just really stir my heart that way before we can talk about any of those three, the price, the plan, the promise, any of those things, we must address the issue that leads up to all three. Praise God. We cannot talk about, or at that time we couldn't talk about Calvary, we will tonight. We've got to talk about other things. We've got to talk about and lay the foundation of why there is a price to be paid. Why is there a promise to be given? Why is there a plan to fulfill? Why is that? Why is that? So, as you know, we went to John 3:16. And I'm telling you, even today, even, I think it was 2:30 this morning, I was printing stuff off and sending it to my printer. And I was hoping, I said, man, I hope I don't disturb Paula, but I was reading and watching, seeing things there as I was reading. I said, oh, I've got to print this off, got to send that. And I would send it to my study, and it would print off. And that morning at 2:30, the Lord said, this is what I want you to address, John 3:16. I want you to break it down, and I want you to see it like you have never seen John 3:16 before. And read, as I begin to break that down, the Holy Spirit began to kind of give me the way it should be broken down. It was broken down in like two words. So when we started way back, we talked about the very first two words, for God. And we called that providence. Providence. Providence of God. Providence of God is why I'm here tonight, standing in this place. Amen. Providence of God, Dick and Virginia Shaw built a barn that we changed. I would tell everybody, don't call it a barn anymore, call it a ministry center. Yeah. Right. And we did that for 3 years. Amen. We begin to call those things that be not as if they were. Yeah. Praise God. Providence. It's so powerful in our life. And I would love to just go back and preach it all over again, because, I mean, I love the providence one. And then we got to the second part, the other two words, so loved. And we talked about the love of God, which was proof. The proof that God loves us. There are people today in the church, I'm going to say this. There are people in the church that you're going to that still struggling with the fact, how can God love me? With everything I've done and everywhere I've been, how can a loving God love me? And they struggle with the image of God. They cannot see. Oh, I just heard that, Holy Spirit. They cannot see God as a loving Father. They see God as a judging God. He's gonna judge me. He's caused my baby to die. He's caused me to have this wreck. He caused our fire to burn down because I'm not probably living like I need to live, and I'm under the judgments of God. Friend, may I tell you tonight, there ain't a one of you in this room have ever seen the judgments of God. None of you. None of us seen the judgment of God. Matter of fact, we've already, as believers, Julie, we've already been judged. That took place at Calvary. Aren't you glad of that? Praise God. So we talked about proof. So loved. So loved. Then, I wrote all these down. You're talking about simple notes. Here they are. If you want to see them, this is them right here. Then we talked about the two words, the world. And we called that the place. That may have been my favorite. Karen Blanks came and said, Robert, I think that's the greatest message that you've ever preached. That God so loved the world. Yellow, red, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. God loves the world. And I said, because God loves the world, we must love the world. And I know what the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You have to understand theologically and hermeneutics what that really means. Don't love the system of the world. We don't love the system of the world. We love the sinners of the world. Amen. So we talked about the world, the world. For God, providence, so loved, proof, the world, the plan, the place. And I put in mind, the people are God's creation. I want to tell you tonight, and I stress that. I stress that to you also. I stress that to you that God still loves His creation. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Romans, I think it's Romans, that the whole world, the creation, I think it used the word creation, is groaning, groaning. If we could hear tonight, this whole creation's groaning, groaning. Why? Are you ready for this one? That the sons of God might be manifested. I don't know about y'all. It's time that we manifest who we really are. Praise God. We manifest who we really are. We are children of God. We're children of light. Praise God. Number four tonight, we've talked about providence and proof and place, people, creation. Tonight, the Bible says that He gave, or He gave. That's price. Oh my goodness. If you knew the price that's really been paid for you. Amazing. Amazing. How great a price. Before I go any further, the Bible speaks that we are bought with a price. Amen. We are bought like a slave. I was reading Rick Renner, and I printed it off. It may be in the very back of my notes because I did that late this afternoon. And Rick Renner broke down the word about slave and the word redeemed, what the word redeem really means. Praise God. You know what? I think most of all believers do not act like they are really sons of God's. Amen. Boy, I just scared some of you right there. Well, the Bible said we are. We are now, N-O-W, at this very moment, we are now the sons of God. You know the Bible says that. We are now the sons of God. Now we're going to be. We are now the sons of God. And the only reason we are, there had to be an ultimate price paid for us. God, way back in time, in creation, when Adam and Eve sinned, and they attempted man's way of manufacturing, hiding his sins will never work. Oh yes, the Bible said, "Let it be revealed on the housetop." Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. It wasn't enough to cover them. And you know what? The Bible said that God made coats of skin. Who made them?
God.
Who made them?
God.
Who made them?
God.
So if he made coats of skin, what had to happen?
Something had to die.
Yeah. There had to be a death. There had to be a sacrifice. Are you ready for this? There had to be the shedding of blood. So way back 6,000 years ago, God set forth a standard that it has never been broken and never will be broken, that there has to be a sacrifice and a sacrifice of blood for sins to be covered. Now, in the Old Testament, we know what happened. In the Old Testament, once a year on the seventh day of the 10th month of the year, which was around October, they'd go in and they would they'd go into the holies of holy, and that priest would offer up the sins of the people, and they'd do it once a year, and they just kept rolling their sins up, rolling their sins up, rolling their sins up. Okay? And that's why the Bible tells us in Leviticus 17 and 11, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
Okay? I've got to lay a foundation to get to where we'll talk tonight. We're not going to finish it. In the Old Testament, there was always a sacrifice had to be made for the sins of the people to be really not forgiven, but to be moved on for another year that they could do it all over again. If you was too poor to bring a heifer or a goat, you could bring a turtle dove. And you would bring it and you would present it to that priest. And for once a year, one more time, you got by with it. This was in the Old Testament. But every bit of it was falling short. When those two thieves or spies came into the city to destroy it, okay? And that harlot Rahab saw them. She hid them among the flax, okay? They said, we're going to come back and destroy Jericho, okay? And they came out against us and beat us now. We're going to destroy Jericho. And she said she hid them. And when they started to leave, she said, I don't want to die when y'all come back. And they said, hang a scarlet thread outside your window. And get behind that, and when we come and destroy it, everybody that's behind the scarlet thread is going to live. When God said to Moses, lead my people out, and that night a nation was born, and the Passover was instituted the first time ever, there had to be a shedding of blood, and the lintels of the post had to have the blood sprinkled on there. And when that death angel came that night, he said, I will pass over you. And that's what Passover means. Praise God. Blood. Blood. Well, churches don't want to talk about it today. There's churches, there are denominations that's taken out the word blood or any psalm with the blood in it. They can't sing it anymore. Don't talk about the blood. I want to tell you, this is a bloody religion. This is a bloody book. I'm telling you, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, is what the writer said. Praise God. So in the Old Testament, it failed. David committed adultery. They rejected Isaiah's word. They rejected Jeremiah's word. They rejected Daniel's word. They rejected the minor prophet's word until it come down to the end of the journey. And Kent, at the last word of the last book, it said, "In God, there is a curse on the land." The Old Testament closes with a curse. And after 400 years of silence and darkness on a studded hill outside of Jerusalem, camped on a canopy of clouds, was a group of angels and said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. There's been a Savior born in Jerusalem today. And all of a sudden, God said, I'm about to change. There is about to be a paradigm shift concerning a sacrifice. And that's what we're reading about tonight. For God so loved the world. The world. Now, yesterday, I had a coat on, so if we can take this little jacket here, and I just probably went off camera there. If we can just take this little jacket there, you know, if this was a jacket, and it's not, but it's an Arapaho or whatever, you know. Jesus slipped his regal robe of glory off Esther and folded it up, put it by his father, and said, "Dad, I'll be back in 33 years. He said, "Well, I don't know if that happened that way. Tell me how it happened." God sent his son, hid inside a woman's womb, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born in a manger, birthed among animals, rejected from day one, rejected after 33 and a half years, hung him on a cross, pierced his side, a crown of thorns on his head, until the blood poured from his body. Don't ever say he spilled his blood at Calvary for us. That's an accident. He poured his blood out for us. That is the ultimate price that's been paid for us. Never forget the price that has been paid. Yes, Lord. Never abuse the price that's been paid. I think sometimes when a person that's known God and forgets, they forget what God has done for them, and they go back into the world, they forget the preciousness of the blood of Jesus. They forget the incredible cost. Just recently, we celebrated, and still yet, celebrating 75 years of D-Day and Normandy, where so many thousands. I watched To Hell and Back with Artie Murphy. I could watch it every week. And the most decorated veteran at the age of 19. At the age of 19, the most decorated veteran in all wars ever been. Great autobiography movie last night on TCM of Audie Murphy. And we've celebrated the veterans that's given them lives. And we've seen the horror stories, the movies that's been made, Saving Private Ryan, The Longest Day. And the list goes on and on and on. And they gave our lives for us to have our freedom. That we can sit here tonight, open a Bible, drive up. Nobody has to say, you can this, you can't that. We have that freedom in America. Now, it's fastly we're losing out this freedom. And Lord only, what's going to happen in 2020 in the election? I mean, this facade that goes on the last two nights of debate, it's crazy. What will happen? I want to tell you, we are coming to the end of days. And there's an assignment for us to fulfill. Praise God. The blood that was shed for us. No wonder when Peter was writing, he used the word precious more than one time. Nobody else could say it even better than Peter, because Peter had denied him. Peter had got away from the Lord. Peter had cursed the night. So when Peter was writing his epistle, read how many times he used the word precious, because they were very precious to him. Even in his first epistle, in his first chapter, around verses 17, when I got called to preach, the Lord called me in August at a country church. Danny Hudson was preaching a revival. I was kneeling there praying, and the Lord, he said, "I have called you to preach my gospel." I remember that night saying, "Lord, it's the guy right next to me. You're not calling me, not me. No, not." I remember arguing with that night during the service. I wouldn't tell nobody. I finally got up enough nerve, and this was in August, to tell my mama. So it was August, September, October, November, and I was going to church. I remember going to church 70 straight nights. I mean, I got saved, guys. I mean, I was loving God. And in January, on a Sunday morning, Karen, we got to singing The Lighthouse. Believe it or not, I was singing in a trio. Don't even ask about that, you know. And but we were singing up there, me and Teresa Harris, and I forget exactly who else was singing with us. And we were singing, and I tell you, I just got to testifying, you know, testifying in the song. And then I found myself, I got to preaching. And that morning I told everybody in that room, I said, I want to declare what my mama's known. I accept the call of God to preach the gospel this morning. And everybody was shouting and a hallelujah. And it was all great. So service ended. And as we was about to leave, Pastor Vernon Shivers stood up and said, Brother Robert will be preaching tonight. That's what they did in the Free Holiness Movement. They just throwed you out there and you started preaching. Don't go to seminary. They called it cemetery. Don't go to cemetery. God can tell. I mean, it's crazy stuff out there, you know. But anyway, I mean to tell you, I got down after lunch. Teresa Harris came to eat lunch with us, and I left her up there with Mother. I went down the swamp, and I got up underneath a big old water oak tree, buried myself underneath there in the white sand, and I sought God. I said, God, what is it you want to preach? And my first message, Kent, was this. 1 Peter 1 and around 17, that we're not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold. But Peter said, by the precious blood of the Lamb. The precious blood. He didn't just say the blood. He said the precious blood. The precious blood of the Lamb. I got to praying this afternoon. I got to singing that song. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Now sing it. Oh, precious, sing it. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about 5 quarts of blood in a man's body. That's not what we're talking. I mean, can you imagine? I was thinking about when Spielberg wrote Jurassic Park. It was actually, I don't know if you know this, but Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park. It wasn't Spielberg. You do know that. Spielberg made a movie out of it. But Michael Crichton, he wrote the book, Jurassic Park. And it was about a fossil or a dinosaur and a mosquito and drawing the blood out of that mosquito and you know, creating Jurassic Park, you know. And they thought, wow, this is just wild. You know, we all watch. I remember the first time the kids taught me into watching it. Dad couldn't watch it. I was doing good. When they were in that cart going down the road, that Jeep going down that track, that Jeep, I was doing good. I could hear background noises. But I was doing good until I turned my head and looked back and the goat was gone. I said, that's it. Not watching any more of this. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can't go to man. They can't wash your sins away. You can shake the preacher's hand till your arm's sore. That ain't going to work. You can tithe till all your money's gone if you want to think that way. That's not going to work. You got to go to the cross and you got to kneel at the cross and let that precious blood wash your sins away. That is the only way you're going to go to heaven. I don't care what Sister Oprah's told you. Don't you believe it? Only one way, and that's the blood-bought way, the Calvary way, the precious blood way. Thank God. No wonder he said the precious, precious blood. We're talking about the price that has been paid for us tonight. If we're not careful, we lose sight of the crucifixion. We lose sight of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, that is the core of the gospel. Did you hear what I just said? That is the core of the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and Him coming back again. Why can't churches get back to the basics of the Bible and the core of the Bible that it's going to be Jesus' way or no way?
Right.
Or the blood way or no way? We're bought with a price. A great price. I love what Romans tells us. Because of this blood that was shed, that we, according to 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. The price that was paid, God gave his son. His son gave his life that we might have eternal life. Look to someone right beside you and tell them tonight, there is no way you're going to ever die. When we walk past your casket and your old creepy veins and face is swiveled away like a prune, that ain't you. That ain't you. No, that's your tabernacle that Peter said, but inside of you is a soul and a spirit that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you won't even know that moment when you slip out of this old canvas, this old tent, and you slide into the glory world. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to get excited about that tonight. Oh, hallelujah. You're so pumped full of eternal life tonight, you'll never know it. I love what D.L. Moody said. He said, I hope I'm 1,000 miles inside the gates before the devil ever knows it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He has freely, the Bible tells us there also in Romans 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And verse 36 said, and he that the Son hath made free is free indeed. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. There's been a price paid for us. There's been an ultimate price. I mean, Muhammad didn't do it. Joseph Smith didn't do it. Oh, no, none of those guys. Allah didn't do it. They all died and they're still there. The old bones is down somewhere in some mausoleum or whatever. But our Savior went to the cross and he poured his blood out for us. Praise God. And that blood makes me as white as snow. I don't understand it. I don't understand some things in life, but I know this. I was black in my sins and he applied his blood to me and I became as white as snow. Oh, no wonder the writer said, wash yourself with hyssop and you shall be as white as snow. I'm talking about the price that's been paid. The price that's been paid. We forget so soon of the price that was paid for us. Every year, as we've did this past 2 weeks, we've celebrated veterans, we've celebrated their death, we've celebrated the men and women that gave their lives for us. And I want to tell you, every time a flag, let me tell you, when I see a flag coming up, boy, I'm going like this. I'm honoring it. That's why I didn't watch any NFL games last year, except for the Chiefs. I boycotted the NFL. If they ain't got enough sense that when they're playing our national anthem, to stand for the men and women that died for that, I ain't giving them a nickel or a dime. And you shouldn't either. No. No, thank God we had some guys or coaches or whatever said, you know what? If you don't stand, you don't stay.
I like it.
I like that. I'm still a red-blooded, true-blooded American. I love the stars and stripes. I love the star-spangled banner. I love the fireworks on the 4th of July. Praise God, I love watermelons on the 4th of July. I love celebrating America. I don't know about you. I love America. I'm going to go a step further. God loves America. Don't you listen to nobody that God's judgment's falling on America. God's judgment may be falling on some people, but God loves America and he loves Israel. It's the apple of his eye. And I want to tell you, there'll be a day, praise God, he's going to rapture his church away and he's going to say, have at it. I've took my salt out of the earth and that's the only thing that was holding back the sin. Take the salt out and preservation is gone. Take Lot out of Sodom and the Sodom is destroyed. Take the light of the world out, which is us. There's no light anymore. There's nothing but darkness. Take the salt out and preservation's been lost. We have been bought with an ultimate price tonight. We're not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb that was without spot and wrinkle. The Lamb that was a perfect Lamb. The Lamb of God. Praise God. Praise God. There's been a gift. In my praying over this, I heard these two statements. loving Father, giving God. He's a giving God, but yet He's a loving Father. I just heard that. You know what the Bible says? Every perfect and good gift comes down from the Father above. I want to tell you, God loves giving gifts to His children. We have a loving Father. We have you may have never had a loving father. I was just reminded. I told my barber, Jason, I'm making some inroads. He just shuts up and let me preach to him. And today I said, okay, I'm going to pour it on him. Praise God. And I don't even know how it all got started. Ed went through Memphis and I began to share some thing about Memphis. And I remember when Memphis Jones was here. He's the face of Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis Jones. He was the guy that impersonated or did the Elvis whatever for Dr. Bob and Katie's anniversary. And we brought him. And they stayed at our house, Memphis Jones and his wife, who's going to the airport. Sandy just driving down the road. Word of knowledge began to come to me. She wouldn't ride in the back seat. She was kind of afraid of that. She was a kind of a fearful kind of woman. Wouldn't ride in the back seat. She stood up in the front, and Memphis is in the back. And we got about just as we turned on the 29, I began to speak a word of knowledge to her. And as immediately as I said it, she fell into the dash, just sobbing. I thought, what have I done? And I began to share and talk to her about it doesn't matter what our past has been. It doesn't matter the label that mom and dad put on us. It doesn't matter how we may have been abused by a father. And I'm telling you, she is sobbing by now. She is sobbing by now. But I'm telling you, Memphis has got his hands laying up on his wife up there. Up there. These are the praying people. And I'm telling you, we got there to that airport, and I just began to pray with her. God, I said, Memphis, let's pray. We got to praying for her. Man, I'm telling you, he called me. He said, Robert, you'll never know it. My wife got set free on the way to the airport. And I'm telling you, I'd call him back. He said, Robert, you know, he said, man, I thought, I'm the Pope here. You know, he said, I'm telling you, when you said that to her, I knew exactly you hit a nerve. He said, you didn't know we was about to go through divorce. I've not got her past about being depressed and being underneath the thumb of her father that oppressed her and abused her as a little girl. Physically in every way that you possibly can. And he said, that day, that word of knowledge came forth. And she said, I am set free from this day forward. I will not look back anymore. I'm telling you, there's something about the blood of Jesus. Oh, how the devil can't deal with that. He can make a duplicate of the Holy Ghost and have someone talking in tongues that ain't even got it. I mean, they can go out there and just yabba, 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 yabba. Let me tell you one thing. He ain't never made a duplicate of the blood. He can't make it. There was only one blood. There was only one Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And that blood that was poured out for us, for our sins, that was the price that was paid. For God so loved the world that He gave. Can I tell you tonight that God is still giving? We got a giving God on our hands. When he shared that with me, he said, I'm a giving God, I'm a loving Father. I said, I'll take both of them. Every perfect good gift comes from down from the Father above. God will give you peace that will surpass all understanding. When the world is saying, I don't know how in the world they can live through this. I don't know how in the world they can have peace through it. And we know what it is. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Praise God. The blood, that song says, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows through the lowest valley. The blood, it will never, 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 never lose its power. When the enemy tries to come to us, this is what you do. You say, you see that? That's the bloodline. And you can't cross that. That's the blood of my Savior for me. And you're not crossing that bloodline, devil. You're not coming across. I know. You know, when we were little kids, you know, when you're going to fight. You know, you're going to fight somebody, you know. You draw a line in the sand, you know. And they'd say, I dare you to step over it, you know. You just step over. Then draw another line. Well, after about with me about two or three lines, I said, man, let's just get this deal over. Just cold cock him like that and walk away. It's over. And we draw that line up and say, devil, you may try to do a lot of things, but you can't cross the bloodline. I am covered in the blood. I am hid in Christ. I'm a new man. I'm a new creature. I think new thoughts. I speak new words. I say new things. I live in a new way. I don't think like the world. I don't act like the world. I'm in it, but it's not in me. Why? Because my sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What a price that has been paid for us. Praise God. Let's praise Him for it right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to thank you for the blood tonight. Praise God.